الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، so we have what is known as القصيدة التائية or منظومة أبي إسحاق الإلبيري رحمه الله تعالى. The poem which is called التائية because of all of the lines that end in التاء. And also it is known by, as the poem of the author, and his name is Abu Ishaq al-Ilbiri. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 460. We will just read a few of these lines and benefit from the beginning of this poem. But those who are able, they are encouraged to memorize the whole poem. And there will be a test with regards to that and a prize for those who succeed. May Allah give you success. And those who are young and not able to memorize that much, then they are encouraged to memorize the first 23 lines. And likewise, those who have success in this, likewise will have a prize. May Allah give you success. So now we see, now we begin with the poem of Abi Ishaq al-Ilbiri. But before that, we want to know the reason why he wrote this poem. And who is it directed to? Because in the very beginning, he calls out to a person addressing him. And his name is Abu Bakr. He says, Abu Bakr, da'utuka law ajabta. Until the end of those lines. So the people of knowledge, they have clarified that Abu Ishaq al-Ilbiri, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he had a childhood friend. He had a childhood friend that he had known for some time. And then later in life, that same friend, as they grew up and seeking knowledge and the likes like this, this individual here whom he knows, he wrote a poem about him, mentioning all of his bad faults and bad traits. And he wrote a poem about him, speaking ill of him, and talking bad about him, and blaming him, and mentioned a number of blameworthy traits and faults. And he wrote a poem talking bad about the author. So the people of knowledge have clarified that his response to him, and that man's name, he was known as Abu Bakr. He is known as Abu Bakr. But Abu Ishaq al-Ilbiri, he was one of those people, and Allah knows best, that was described with some of those traits that just has preceded. From them, al-Hilm. From them, forbearance. And from them, gentleness and kindness. And instead of responding to the blame of that person and those foul statements and claims of that person, rather he confessed to that. And he mentioned that in reality, that what you mentioned about me from my faults is not even sufficient. Rather, I have many, many more errors and faults and shortcomings that you didn't even mention. I have many, many more errors and faults and shortcomings that are worse than that you didn't even mention. And he responded in this manner with this advice. So he turned away from all of that. He turned away from that foolish speech. He turned away from talking bad about somebody and calling them names and mentioning their faults and picking at them and talking bad about them and exposing their shortcomings and the likes like this. And he gave him sincere advice. And this was that affair. And this poem in general is about the encouragement to seek knowledge and to learn and to apply the knowledge and to abide by that and to have the noble and the upright, lofty conduct and manners, and to avoid and to stay away from the lowly conduct and manners. So this is the reason why the poem was authored, and Allah knows best, and this is what the poem is about. So in our discussion now, there are many, many benefits to be derived from the likes of these lines of poetry. Grammatical benefits, and benefits in sarf, and benefits in the Arabic language, and also benefits in manners and conduct, and benefits in the likes like this. But we suffice with that which is easy, and that which is suitable for our gathering. So the translation is going to be brief, and the benefits likewise are going to be brief, and the focus is not going to be on a literal translation, but rather upon the benefit of the meanings and what is intended. The benefit of the meanings and what is intended. So he began with Bismillahi Rahman Rahim. And then he says, Tafutu fu'adaka al-ayyamu fatta, wa tanhitu jismaka as-sa'atu nahta, wa tad'uka al-manunu du'a sidqin, ala ya sahi anta uridu anta. So in these first two lines, he is mentioning that as the days and the night and the time passes by, his mind and his body is getting weaker and weaker. So the time, it has an effect on a person. The days, and day after day, and the hour after hour. And this is the affair of life. As time is going by, maybe a person, he does not realize that. But he is getting closer to his day of death. He's getting closer to death. And even if he lives for some time, he is going to get closer and closer to his weakness. And this is the way of the human being. If Allah decrees for a person to live a long life, he will come and he will be weak. And then he will grow into a next stage. And then he will become strong. And then if he continues living, he will become weak again. The days as they pass by and the hours as they pass by, a person, he's getting older and he's increasing in age. And he's getting closer to death. And this is why he says, وَتَدْعُوكَ مَنُونُ دُعَاءَ صِدْقٍ. And death is calling you a true call. And death is calling you a true call. So as the days go by, we're getting older. And in reality, if we continue to live, we're going to become weaker and weaker. Our mind is going to become weaker. And our bodies are going to become weaker. And this is the reality of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. And death is calling you. And death is calling you. It's calling you a call of truth. And then he says, أَلَا يَصَحِي أَنْتَ أُرِيدُ أَنْتَ. Death is calling for you. A true call. He's saying, oh my friend, I'm coming for you. Oh my friend, I'm coming for you. So this is a reminder and a beautiful manner of how he began with this advice. That a person, he is on a path to Allah Azza wa Jal. He's on a path to Allah Azza wa Jal. Either he's going to get there in the most noble and the most beautiful and honorable manner, or he's going to get there contrary to that. But everyone is going to Allah. Everyone is returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one knows when his return will be. Meaning no one knows when his life will end. Some, they live a long time and they die in old age. And some, they die whenever they're young. And some, they die whenever they're young. It's been narrated by Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, يَا مَعْشَرَ الشُّيُوكِ مَا يُنْتَظَرُ بِالزَّرْءِ إِذَا بَلَغَ قَالُوا الْحَصَّادِ. The Hassan al-Basri, he gives some advice and admonishment to the elders. He said, oh, you gathering of elders, what is waiting for the crops whenever they reach maturity and whenever they ripen? And they said, they're waiting to be harvested. They're waiting to be harvested. وَقَالَ يَا مَعْشَرَ الشَّبَابِ إِنَّ الزَّرْعَ قَدْ تُدْرِكُهُ الْآهَةُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَبْلُغُ. And then he said, oh, you gathering of youth. First he addressed the elders in this manner. And then he addressed the youth in this manner. He said, oh, gathering of youth, possibly the crops may be afflicted with a disease before they even reach harvest. Before they even reach harvest, meaning some people, those who have reached old age, they have nothing waiting for them except for death to come. And this is one of the reasons why the people of knowledge have considered a nadir, the warner, the gray hair. From the interpretation of the word nadir, which means a warner, they have interpreted that to mean the gray hair. Whenever the gray hair starts to come, this is a warning that death is coming. Because if a person didn't die whenever he's young, he would die whenever he's old. If a person didn't die when he's young, he would die when he's old. أَلَا يَصَحِي أَنْتَ أُرِيدُ أَنْتَ. So to remember this and to recognize this, death is coming. It's coming for you. It's coming for you. Death is coming for you. It's coming for me. We cannot hide from that. This is in the decree of Allah and the wisdom of Allah and the command of Allah, and it's coming for each one of us. So it's not important, barakallah fiqh, about when it comes. Rather, how you are whenever it comes. How you are, what state you are in whenever it comes. You want to be in a state of piety, in a state of peace. You want to be in a state where your soul is clean and pure. You want to be in a state of obedience, not in a state whenever your soul is tainted, or whenever your soul is dirty or filthy with sin and disobedience, or even in a state of disbelief. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is a reminder of death. A reminder of death. Those who reach old age, then death is coming for them. And those who are young, they should not be deceived by their young age, because sometimes many of them, before they reach old age, they die. Just like sometimes the crops, they're not able to reach the harvest, rather they're inflicted with a disease before that. Likewise, it's been narrated by Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, that he was with somebody who had committed much crime and much sin. And they were at a funeral procession, and they were at the grave after the person has been buried. And he's standing next to this individual, and Allah knows best, the person in the grave possibly was from his companions, meaning that they're on the same path. They're on the same path of extravagance and transgressing the limits of Allah and violating the rights and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at this time he took advantage of that, and he told that young man, he said, what do you think this person would hope right now? What do you think that person is hoping for right now? And he said, he's hoping that he could come back and do righteous deeds. No doubt. And right now, he's wishing he could come back and do deeds he did not do before. He's wishing he could come back. If he had the chance to come back now, what would he do? If that man, your friend, you just buried him, if you know him very well, if he came back right now, what do you think he would do? He said, he would do righteous deeds. He would do righteous deeds. He said, like that you as well. So now this is your opportunity to do righteous deeds. So like that for each one of us. For each one of us, now we have to take this admonition. Death is coming for us. May Allah give us all and our family and our loved ones a long life upon obedience. But the reality is that death is calling. Death is calling. Ala ya sahi anta, uridu anta. And then along with that, now he mentions, araka tuhibbu irsan dhata ghadrin. Abatta talaqa hal akyasu batta. Tanamu dahra wa haka fi ghatitan biha hatta idha mittan tabahta. Allahu Akbar. He says now, along with the reality of death coming and calling for you, along with that, I find that you love a bride that is very treacherous and deceptive. I find that you're in love with a bride who is very treacherous and deceptive. Referring to? Ad-dunya. Referring to the worldly life. He says, أَبَتَّ طَلَقَهَا أَدَكْيَسُ بَتَّ. He said, the people of sound understanding and cleverness, and the people with right mind, they have divorced her for eternity. And they have divorced her entirely, meaning that their hearts are not attached to the dunya. The people of wisdom and the people of sound minds, their hearts are not attached to the dunya. The hearts are not attached to the dunya. Rather, their hearts are attached to Allah. And the dunya is in their hands and not in their hearts. And this is the advice for this individual, and likewise the advice for you and all of us. That the dunya should be in our hands and not in our hearts. That the dunya should be on our hands and not on our hearts. He described this person like this: I see that you are in love with a bride that is very treacherous. The worldly life is treacherous. The person who falls into the desires, into the whims, and chasing after women or wealth and the likes like this, he will be betrayed. And that will not be a means of success for him. And even if he has some joy in this life, death will come to him and the angels will strip his soul. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So these things, a believer, he must remind himself and remember. And he says, you're sleeping all the time. وَيْحَكَ فِي غَلْطِيْتٍ. He said, why are you always asleep? You're always sleeping until the fact that you're snoring, meaning that you're heedless in this life. And he's snoring, meaning this is an indication that he's continuing upon heedlessness, not having any care or concern with his soul and the path that he's upon, and when death is going to come to him, and how he's going to be. And how he's going to be as if he's sleeping. He's so heedless about the reality of his soul and the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal and the accountability before Allah and the angels coming for his soul. Ala ya sahi anta uridu anta. Oh my friend, I'm coming for you. I want you. Death is saying this. This is the case with regards to this affair. So this person is sleeping in heedlessness like this as if he's snoring. As if he's snoring. Biha hatta idha mitta intabahta. And in this state, a person like this, he will continue sleeping. He will continue to upon heedlessness and negligence until whenever he dies, he wakes up. Until whenever he dies, he wakes up. Meaning that he will not realize the reality of this life and the dangers that his soul is facing and the accountability that awaits him and the anger of Allah or his pleasure that is at stake for his soul. He does not realize that until he dies. Until he dies. At this time, waking up would not benefit him. At this time, realizing would not benefit him. It's been narrated from Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, "An-nasu niyam, fa'idha matu antabahu." That the people they're sleeping, and whenever they die, they awake and they realize. Any an indication of much of mankind, they're heedless. They're heedless of the reality of the hereafter. They're heedless of the reality of the hereafter. This life is not the end. It's not the end. The body is alive now, but the body will die, and the soul will go to the barzakh. The soul will go to the barzakh. And then after that, likewise, the soul and the body will be resurrected and held accountable in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا وَيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تُرْجُمَانٍ. And there's not one of you whatsoever except that his Lord will speak to him, and there will not be any translator or interpreter. This is from the statement of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this, again, here is the reminder of this affair. And he beginning like this, and this is the means for success, and from the greatest principles and foundations of being steadfast upon the right path is to remember death, and that Allah, he created us, and that he provide for us and sustain us, and that we're going back to him, and that he's going to ask us about these blessings. ثُمَّ لَتُسَّلُونَ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. You're going to be asked on that day about those blessings. the blessings of heat. That maybe many of us have forgot about how great a blessing it is to have a heater in the masjid. We didn't realize that affair until the heater is broken all of a sudden. All of these days and all of these times we're benefiting from the heater and benefiting from the air conditioner and such great comfort. And it's not until it's gone that we realize the favors that we had. Until we realize that the favors that we had. So these are from the blessings that a believer has to realize and remember and show thanks for his life, for his religion, for his deen, for the fact that he's a Muslim, a Sunni, on the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and strive his best to abide by that. To abide by that. So he continues, he says, فَكَمْ ذَأَنْتَ مَخْدُعٌ وَحَتَّى مَتَى لَا تَرْعَوِي عَنْهَا وَحَتَّى. So how long are you going to be deceived? How long are you going to be tricked? How long are you going to continue upon that way and not repent? And until when are you going to continue following your desires? Until when are you going to continue having those relationships that are not permissible? Until when are you going to be on Facebook talking with the wrong people? Until when are you going to be riding in the car with those individuals you know it's not proper to be with? Until when? Until when? Until when? When are you going to stop? When are you going to stop? When are you going to take admonition? When are you going to realize? And he's advising like this manner because those who are losers, as he said, they don't wake up until they die. So therefore, he's trying to wake you up. And waking up to this reality is the first step on the straight path. The first step on the straight path, many of the people of knowledge, they consider to be called al-yaqadha, to wake up. To wake up to the reality of al-tawheed. And to wake up to the reality that we are a creation and that we are provided for and sustained and that we have a Lord and a Creator and that we are going to go back to Him and He's going to hold us to account for our actions and for our deeds. So after this introduction, now he begins with the direct advice. And it's very beautiful because what is he advising him with? That which is most important and that which is the means for his success. So he says, أَبَا بَكْرٍ دَعُوتُكَ لَوْ أَجَبْتَ إلى ما فيه حظك لو أقلت إلى علم تكون به إماما مطاعا إن نهيت وإن أمرت ويجل ما بعينك من غشاها ويهديك السبيل إذا ضللت وتحمل منه في ناديك تاجا ويكسك الجمال إذا اقتربت. He said, O Abu Bakr, although we know who the author he's intending, correct? We know who the author he's intending, somebody who spoke bad about him, somebody who's finding fault with him and displaying and exposing his faults and the likes like this. But my advice now is that we all consider ourselves Abu Bakr. That we all consider ourselves Abu Bakr. That we need this admonition. As if he's telling us. As if this advice is for me and for you. It's for me and for you. He's saying, Oh Abu Bakr, I'm calling you if you would only respond. I'm inviting you and calling you if you would only respond to something that if you understood properly, you would have a great portion and much benefit. If you respond to this call, he said, I'm calling you to knowledge of the legislation. I'm calling to you to knowledge that by way of it, you will be an imam. By way of it, you will be an imam. This is the first benefit of knowledge. The one who truly obtains the knowledge and he bears that and he carries that and he applies that and he abides by that, he will be an imam. He will be an imam and he will be a role model. He will be the best of mankind and he will be a leader. And this is from the supplication of the righteous. Ibad al-Rahman, the slaves of Allah, of al-Rahman, they have a supplication about this affair. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. O Allah, and make us for the righteous imam. Make us imams, make us leaders. The people of knowledge from the Mujahid, he said about this, meaning make us follow the righteous and the pious before us so that we can be leaders for the righteous and pious after us. So in order to be an imam upon taqwa and upon piety, one has to first follow the pious and the righteous. One, he must first follow the pious and the righteous. By following the pious and the righteous and turning away from the way of the wicked and the sinners, in this manner he will become a leader for those pious and righteous after him. So the way to obtain that is by way of knowledge. Is by way of knowledge. And then he mentions another benefit of having knowledge and the reality of being an imam. He says, مُطَاعًا إِنَّ هَيْتَ وَإِنَّ مَرْتَ. That you will be obeyed whenever you prohibit and whenever you command. And this is the way of the people of knowledge. The people of knowledge, whenever they prohibit the people and they say, no, this is haram and not allowed. This issue here is not permissible. Allah, He's not pleased with that. The people of sincerity and the people of righteousness, they'll leave it and stop and they will obey Him. And if the person of knowledge, he says, this is an obligation, you must perform it in this manner. This is an obligation, it must be established in this way. The people of truth and the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla, they will obey him and they will establish it just as he said. Meaning the person who is an imam in the religion, an imam in the deen, he is somebody that whenever he orders the people, he orders with the command of Allah. And whenever he encourages the people, he encourages them to follow the sunnah of the Prophet. And those who are upon goodness, they will obey him and comply to that. So his command will be obeyed. And likewise, whenever he prohibits, the same way. He prohibits that which Allah prohibits. And he prohibits that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibits. And those righteous and good Muslims, they will abide by that. And they will leave off his prohibitions. Many times the people of the dunya and the rulers and the likes, they tell people don't do this and don't do that. They do it anyways. Don't do this and don't do that. They do it anyways. You have to do this, you have to do that. They do it. They do it anyways. People have worldly authority. But the one of knowledge, the person of knowledge, the people obey him in obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is a high status. This is a high status and is only obtained by way of knowledge. So it's encourage you in this manner. A believer, he will not look for that. But this is a virtue that comes along with carrying knowledge sincerely. Along with carrying knowledge sincerely. And then he mentioned after that, likewise, that it will remove any ambiguity in your eyes so that you can see clearly. And it will guide you on the path if you are in error. If you were in error. And this is the reality of knowledge likewise. Knowledge is light. Knowledge is light. Imagine if somebody, barakallahu fikum, he's walking on a path in the wilderness. He's walking on a path in the wilderness, a little trail. One of those little trails that go around through the mountain, through the mountains or through the woods and the likes like this. It's a small trail. On the right there's trees, and on the left there's trees, and some of the trees are low, and sometimes there's thorns, and maybe even there could be snakes or other type of things on the trail. And then suddenly night comes and he doesn't have a lantern or a flashlight. Suddenly night comes, he doesn't have a lantern or a flashlight, and he's still not to the end of the trail. And the trail is turning and is going up and down and around this tree and around that tree. And there's water here and there's water there, and maybe there's a little mud in the road. And there's rocks here and like this big rock there and a little rock there. He has to watch, it's up and down, he has to watch where he's stepping. And then suddenly it's dark time and there's no moonlight and the trees are covering any types of light and he's in pitch darkness. What is he going to do now? Is he going to be in trouble? Is he going to be in trouble? He's going to be in trouble. He's in the wilderness, pitch dark. He doesn't know which way to go. Maybe he's going to try to step and he's going to step in a hole. Maybe he wants to back up. He's going to back up into a rock. Maybe he thinks he's supposed to turn right. He's supposed to turn left. Maybe he wants to put his hand on something to get his balance. It's a snake. Maybe there's an animal in front of him. He doesn't know. He tries to get something to help himself. And in the end, he winds up harming himself because he has no light. He can't see. What about now, this person in this situation, somebody came along with a big giant torch and grabbed him by the hand and said, let's go. Huh? What would he say now? Huh? What would that man say now? That was just a moment ago in pitch darkness and he was scared. He didn't know which way to go. He was stuck in the middle of the trail. He would say, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Jazakallahu Khaira. Let's go. Let's go. And he would follow him. This is the example of knowledge. Knowledge is light. So in this life, if a person he can't see, many times he will want to embark upon something or to partake in something or to do something. Or like they say today, he wants to be something. That's what they say today, huh? Some people, they ask, what do you want to be? What do you want to be? Somebody say, I want to be this. I want to be that. I want to be a doctor. I want to be an engineer. I want like this. Some people, they want to be something that in reality is very harmful for their soul. It's very harmful for their soul. That's because they don't have light. They don't have light. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبِ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. That it is not the eyesights that go blind. It's not the eyes that go blind, but what goes blind is the hearts that are in the chest. It's the hearts that are in the chest. So what we're talking about now is not al-basar, not the eyesight, but al-basira, the inside of the heart. So the one who has knowledge, he will have insight. He will be able to see that this path here is no good. That this is not the right way. That this issue here is dangerous. That this issue here is not allowed. That this path here will lead me to the anger of Allah. That this path here will cause me to fall into sin and transgression. That this path here will put my religion and my deen in danger. Put my religion and my deen and my honor in danger. And as for this path here, then this one is good. Because he would have light. He would have insight. He would be able to determine that which is guidance and that which is good and that which is upright and that which is noble from that which is foul and that which is lowly. He would have light. He would have light. This is by way of knowledge. Along with that, he says that as well, the knowledge is going to be like a crown on your head. Whenever you're in your gatherings and whenever you're with your friends, the knowledge that you carry, the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, and the methodology of as-salaf as-salih, the narrations of the companions and the tabi'in, atba' tabi'in, and those great scholars upon that path, that knowledge that you carry, it will be an adornment for you, a means to beautify you. It will be like a crown on your head. When you're in the gathering, it will be a crown on your head. Who wears crowns on their heads? Huh? Huh? The kings, they wear the crown on their heads. So he'll be like the king. He'll be like the king, the one in charge, the one who has authority, the one who has power. Because of his knowledge. His knowledge will be like an adornment for him and a means for him to have authority, just as he mentioned before. Just as he mentioned before, and it will be a means of adornment for him. And this is the way of knowledge. Knowledge, whenever it's learned properly, it beautifies a person. It beautifies his manners. It beautifies his conduct. His creed is upright and proper, and his dealings become good with his Lord first and foremost, and fulfilling the obligations. Likewise with his parents and with his loved ones and with all of the people. The knowledge is a means for him to beautify himself, and he beautify his manners. And beautify the way that he carries himself in his demeanor. Because he has knowledge. He has knowledge of the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He'll be like a crown on his head. And he'll have authority by way of that likewise. And he'll have authority by way of that likewise. And as well, if he was ever in a strange land, it will be also a means of beautification. A means of beautification. Allah, he mentioned, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. And the garment of taqwa, this is most beautiful. And this is what he's referring to now. And the foundation of a taqwa, it is knowledge. Knowledge of that which is pleasing to Allah. Knowledge of the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Knowledge of that which is displeasing to Allah. And knowledge of the ways that are contrary to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the knowledge that will be a light for a person, a crown for a person, a means of authority and honor and rank for a person. Allah, he says, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. That Allah, he raises the ranks of those who believe amongst you and those who have been given knowledge, ranks and levels and height, yani, and degrees. And degrees. So all of this again is an encouragement to be diligent to learn the legislative knowledge. To be diligent to learn. Even if somebody, he knows he's ignorant. A man, he knows he's ignorant. Or a young boy, a young child, he knows he's ignorant. If you tell him you're ignorant, would he like that? In his heart, he knows he's ignorant. But if you tell him, you're ignorant, will he like that? He will not like that. He's saying the truth, but he will not like that. Even ignorant people don't like to be ignorant or to be told that they're ignorant. So ignorance is a lowly trait. Ignorance is a lowly trait. And even the dog has been raised by way of knowledge. And the dog that knows and has been taught how to hunt according to that which is revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then his food, that which he hunts, his game, is lawful for us to eat. Even if we don't slaughter it. Even if we don't slaughter it. It's lawful for us to eat. And whenever he catches the game like that, if he kills it. And in the proper manner. In the proper manner. As for a dog that was not taught, he does not have the knowledge, he does not know how to hunt according to the way revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which he hunts is not permissible. That which he hunts is not permissible. So even the lowliest of animals, the dog, he was able to be raised by way of knowledge. So how about you, O youth? You can be raised ranks. You can be raised high in this life and in the hereafter by way of knowledge. And we need you. The Ummah needs you. We're calling you to step up. We need you to learn the religion, to learn the rulings, to have care for that, to have concern for that, to learn the manners, to learn the deen, to learn the halal, to learn the haram, to learn the creed, to learn the haq, to learn the falsehood, to learn the innovation, and to stand up and be upon that. To stand up and to be upon that, and to abide by that, and to call to that, and to call to that. This is what we are in need of in this ummah. We're in need of knowledge, and we're in need of people of knowledge, and people of wisdom, and people of sound resolve, and strong, and good understanding of the religion, to advise the Muslims, and to clarify the truth, and to refute the falsehood, and to admonish the people, and to aid them in their religion, and to aid them in their religion. So this is a great benefit. Now he mentions another benefit along with all those that have preceded. He says, يَنَالُكَ نَفْعُهُ مَا دُمْتَ حَيًّا وَيَبْخَى ذُكْرُهُ لَكَ إِنْ ذَهَبْتَ. يَنَالُكَ نَفْعُهُ مَا دُمْتَ حَيًّا وَيَبْخَى ذُكْرُهُ لَكَ إِنْ ذَهَبْتَ. That so long as you're alive, you will continue to benefit from that knowledge. This knowledge that you have, so long as you abide by and apply it, so long as you're alive, you will benefit from that. You'll benefit from that. And then even after you die, then the benefit of that knowledge will remain for you as well. The benefit of that knowledge will remain for you as well. The people of knowledge, they mention with regards to this. يَمُوتُ قَوْمٌ فَيُحْيِي الْعِلْمُ ذِكْرَهُمْ وَالْجَهْلُ يَجْعَلُ أَدَهْيَاكَ أَمْوَاتِ. That a people, they will die and knowledge will revive their remembrance. And knowledge will revive their remembrance. And ignorance, it makes the people who are alive as if they're dead. It makes the people who are alive as if they're dead. And the people of knowledge, they say, أَخُ الْعِلْمِ حَيٌّ خَالِدٌ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهِ وَأَوْصَالُهُ تَحْتَ تُرَابِ رَمِيمُ. That the person of knowledge, he's alive eternally, while his body parts are under the ground decaying. The person of knowledge, أَخُ الْعِلْمِ حَيٌّ خَالِدٌ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهِ وَأَوْصَالُهُ تَحْتَ تُرَابِ رَمِيمُ. That the person of knowledge, he's alive after his death, and his body parts, they're under the ground in decay. وَذُو الْجَهْلِ مَيْتٌ وَهُوَ مَاشٍ عَلَى الثَّرَى يُظَنُّ مِنَ الْأَحْيَاءِ وَهُوَ عَدِيمُ. And a person of ignorance, he is dead while he's walking on the earth. It's thought that he's alive, but in reality, he is nothing whatsoever. And so a person, he has, by way of knowledge, a high rank and a high status, and he comes to life truly. He'll be able to taste the reality of life, and the sweetness of life, and the sweetness of faith, and the beauty of a tawheed, and the beauty of al-Islam by way of knowledge and application. And as for the one who's ignorant, then he's always going to be in disorder and disarray, and he'll never truly find happiness and peace. And he'll be walking on the earth, but it's as if he's dead. Yani, like he's an animal. بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ. Rather, they'll be even more astray than the animals. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And then he mentioned after this, رحمه الله تعالى, he says, وَالْعَضْبُ الْمُهَنَّدُ لَيْسَ يَنْبُ تُسِيبُ بِهِ مَقَاتِلَ مَنْ ضَرَبْتَ. That this knowledge here is a sharp and strong sword, and it never misses its mark, and it will strike anyone you hit it with in the death spot. Yani, it will lower them and destroy them. Meaning that this knowledge is like a weapon, and the people of innovation and doubts and misconceptions, whenever a person of knowledge comes, he strikes them. Yani, in a place, yani, that will be for their death. Meaning it will silence them and they will not be able to say anything. The people of innovation, they will come with doubts and misunderstandings and try to trick or deceive the people and try to make the shirk seem like tawheed, or try to make the bid'ah seem like sunnah, or to try to make the sins seem good and the likes like this, or try to make the good and the actions of obedience to be bad. They'll decorate their affairs like this. But the person of knowledge, he's carrying the sword of knowledge. He will come and he will remove all of that. And he will strike them, and he will refute them, and he will clarify that till they have nothing to say. They'll be silenced. They'll be silenced by way of knowledge. The people of innovation are refuted by the people of knowledge. They carry that knowledge like swords. And likewise, the deviants and the misguided individuals as well are silenced by the people of knowledge. They carry that knowledge like weapons. They carry that knowledge like weapons, and they silence the people of innovation, and they silence the people of misguidance. They silence the Christians and the Jews and the likes like this. Whenever they call to their falsehood, a person of knowledge, he will come and he will silence them with the proof of knowledge and with the sword of knowledge and with the authority of knowledge. He has a hujjah. He has a sultan. He has a sultan. Yani, from the guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then after this, he mentions more beautiful traits of this knowledge. He says, وَكَنْزُ نَتَخَافُ عَلَيْهِ لِصَّةً خفيف الحمل يوجد حيث كنت يزيد بكثرة الإنفاق منه وينقص إن به كف شددت فلو قد ذقت من حلواه طعما لآثرت التعلم واجتهدت. He said that this knowledge, it is a treasure that you don't have to fear from anyone stealing it. It's a treasure, you don't have to be afraid of any thief. This knowledge here is a treasure. The knowledge of the revelation, the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, knowledge of the way of the As-salaf as-salih. This knowledge is a treasure. But this treasure, you're not afraid of someone stealing it from you. He says it's light and it's easy to carry. It's with you wherever you go. Meaning it's something that's memorized. It's in your heart. This knowledge is something that you learn and that you memorize it. It's in your heart. You carry it with you wherever you go. It's a treasure that you don't have to worry. Nobody can come and rip it off. Nobody can come and steal it from you. Nobody can come and take it from you. You're carrying the great treasure, the treasure of the revelation that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the inheritance of the prophets, the inheritance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With knowledge, you carry that. It's a treasure in your heart. It's a treasure, gems and gold and diamonds, pearls and rubies in your heart, great gems. Many times a person, he will get a benefit and he'll call it a gem. Oh, this is a great gem that I benefited tonight. A great gem. A valuable piece of advice. A valuable piece of advice from the statements of the Salaf and the likes like this. These are called gems. Gems of knowledge. gems of knowledge. This person here, he's carrying that in his heart, and he doesn't have to worry about anybody stealing that from him. He doesn't have to worry about anybody stealing that from him. Al-Imam al-Shafi, he mentioned about this, rahimahullah. He says, "Ilmi ma'i haythuma yamamtu, yanfa'uni qalbi wi'a'un lahu, la batnu sunduqi. In kuntu fil bayti kana al-ilmu fihi ma'i, aw kuntu fi suqi kana al-ilmu fi suqi." He mentioned about the true knowledge here, and this is the knowledge that's a treasure in the heart of the one who carries it. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, "My knowledge is with me wherever I go. It benefits me. My heart is a container. It is containing it. It's not in any of the books and the likes like this that are kept in the drawers. Any of the books that are written and the notes and the likes like this that are kept in the drawers, this is not the knowledge of a person. Rather, the knowledge of a person is that which he carries in his heart, that treasure that he has." He says, "In kuntu fil bayti kana al-ilmu fihi ma'i." So whenever I'm in the house, then my knowledge is with me in the house. أَوْ كُنْتُ فِي سُوقِي كَانَ الْعِلْمُ فِي سُوقِي. Or if I'm in the market, then my knowledge is in the market. If I'm in the market, then my knowledge is in the market. This is the reality of this treasure. It's a great treasure. Wherever you go, it will benefit you. And you don't have to worry about anybody stealing it. Like the real treasure, the treasure of wealth and prosperity, wherever you go, you have to worry about somebody stealing it. Even if it's tucked away in a bank account. Many times people have money in a bank account, they can't stop looking at it, making sure it's still there, making sure that it wasn't taken, making sure that something didn't happen. Or if somebody has some money, he's hiding it. Or if somebody has something nice in his car, he'll be worried about thinking about that, afraid that somebody may steal it from him. This treasure here, nobody can steal it. This treasure here, nobody can steal it from him. Nobody can steal it from him. So the money and the wealth and the prosperity, you have to protect it. But as for the knowledge, it protects you. As for the knowledge, it protects you. So this is likewise from the benefit. The person who has knowledge, he has the light of knowledge, it will protect him. It will clarify for him, oh, this is not good. Stop and leave. It will clarify for him that this is the wrong thing to do. Then he will turn the other way. He will clarify for him that he did the wrong thing. He will repent to Allah. He will repent to Allah. He will clarify for him that this is good and allowed. He will embark and he will enjoy that. And he will partake in that and enjoy that. And the likes like this. So the knowledge will be a means to protect him. As for the wealth, he has to protect that. And the wealth, he's afraid somebody might steal it from him. And the knowledge, he doesn't worry about that whatsoever. He doesn't have to worry about that whatsoever. كَنْزٌ لَا تَخَافُ عَلَيْهِ لِصَّنْ خَفِيفُ الْحَمْلِ يُجَدُ حَيْثُ كُنْتَ يَزِيدُ بِكَثْرَةِ الْإِنْفَاقِ مِنْهُ وَيَنْقُسُ إِنْ بِهِ كَفًا شَدَتَّ. It increases every time you spend it. The knowledge, this treasure that you have, this gems that you have, this great value and wealth that you have, the more you spend it, the more it grows. The more you spend it, the more it grows, and the more you're stingy with it, the more it decreases. The more it decreases. He's referring to the issue of zakatul ilm. Zakat al-ilm. Yazidu bikathrat al-infaqi minhu. That increases. It increases the more you spend it. And this is the case with the knowledge, and the spending of the knowledge, and paying the zakat on the knowledge is applying that. It's applying that, and teaching that, and clarifying that, and commanding the good, and forbidding the evil based upon that. Based upon that, and giving sincere advice. This is zakatul ilm. Ilm, it has zakat, like mal. It has zakat. And a person, if he learns something, and then he applies that in this manner, the knowledge becomes firm. In this manner, the knowledge becomes firm, and he'll be given success to have the knowledge that he did not learn. That he will be given success to learn the knowledge that he did not know. By spending the knowledge, giving the zakat on the knowledge, by applying the knowledge. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah, he said, كُنَّ نَسْتَعِينُ عَلَى حِفْظِ الْحَدِيثِ بِالْعَمَلِ بِهِ. That we used to seek aid and help in memorizing narrations by applying them. By applying them. So this is the zakat of knowledge, to apply it first and foremost, and then to teach it to others, to help others, to give it to those people who do not have it, and to cultivate them and to raise them upon that knowledge. Likewise, in this manner, the knowledge grows and it becomes pure by applying it and by calling to it and teaching others. So as for the wealth, what happens when you spend it? It decreases. But as for the knowledge, what happens when you spend it? It increases. So therefore, which one is better? The knowledge. The knowledge is better than the wealth. Because the wealth, you have to protect it. Somebody might steal it. And the knowledge, you don't have to protect it. Rather, it protects you. And the knowledge, whenever you spend it, it grows. It becomes better. And as for the money, whenever you spend it, it goes away. And you lose it. So this is the case with that. And then he says, likewise, فَلَوْ قَذُقْتَ مِنْ حَلْوَاهُ طَعْمًا لَآثَرْتَ تَعَلُّمَ وَاشْتَهَدْتَ. And had you tasted the sweetness of its taste, and you would have preferred seeking knowledge, and you would strive hard for that. Referring to the fact that knowledge, it has a sweetness in the heart. The one who tastes the sweetness of knowledge, and the sweetness of faith, and learning about Allah, and His names and His attributes, he's sincere in that, and he busies himself with that, then he will find the sweetness of faith, and he will prefer that over everything else, and nothing will preoccupy him. And nothing will preoccupy him. This is what he says here. وَلَمْ يَشْقَلَكَ أَنْهُ هَوَىٰ مُطَعُونَ And if you tasted the sweetness of faith, and you tasted the sweetness of knowledge and learning, he said that no desires would preoccupy you, meaning from the knowledge. No desires would preoccupy you from the knowledge. وَلَا دُنْيَا بِزُكْرُ فِيهَا فُتِنْتَ And likewise, the worldly life and its glitter would not try you or would not tempt you. Because why? Because you taste the sweetness of knowledge. So he will prefer that. He will prefer studying that and learning that and striving to obtain that and being upon that. Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he mentioned a story about this that he read in one of the biographies of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Rahimahullah, I didn't read this particular benefit, but I heard it from Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala. He mentioned that when Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, he was a young boy before the age of puberty, that his family, his father and his mother and his siblings, they're all going to go on an excursion. They're going to go for a picnic. They're going to go out in Dimashq, yani for a place to enjoy themselves and to have a good day. To have a good day enjoying themselves and the likes like this, on an excursion or on a picnic. So they're telling him to get ready. He said, no, I don't want to go. So in the end, he stayed home and they all left. And it's mentioned likewise that in Dimashq, in Damascus, the scenery is very beautiful. There's beautiful scenery there, and the trees and the likes, and the environment is very beautiful to look at. So the family, they went out. Shaykh al-Islam, he stayed home. Rahimahullah, a little boy. And whenever they came back, it's mentioned that his brothers and the likes, his siblings, as the brothers and sisters do, they're bragging. They're saying, oh, you didn't come with us. We seen this and we seen that. Oh, you should have been with us. Oh, we did this and we did that. We had so much fun. And then Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, you guys did nothing. As for me, this whole book right here about Nahu, I memorized the whole thing. This book right here about Arabic grammar, I memorized that. While you were gone, I memorized the whole book from the beginning to the end. You guys are not talking about anything, having fun like this. He stayed at home, and he was in his own garden. He was on his own journey, memorizing a book. He memorized it from the beginning to the end. He took advantage of the calmness in the house. Nobody's around making noises, and nobody's arguing, debating. Nobody's saying, do this and do that. Everybody's gone. What did he do? He went to the Jannah. The Jannah in this life, to the Jannah, the garden of knowledge. And he benefited from that, and he enjoyed that, and preferred that. And these lines of poetry, they continue in this manner. And originally I wanted to go to the 23rd verse, but inshallah, we stop here and let the youth have fun and enjoy themselves. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the knowledge a benefit for us, and a light for us, and a proof for us, and not against us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify our youth and to grant them success and to purify their hearts and their souls and to guide them to the upright knowledge and the proper way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and aid them to take the reins of this affair and to be lights for the ummah, the men and the women and the boys and the girls, all of them. You have to take this affair seriously. We're in these lands and we need to establish our religion. We need to establish our religion. And this is by way of callers. Call us to goodness, call us to truth, people who give sincere advice, seeking the pleasure of Allah, people who want nothing but the pleasure of Allah and the deen of Allah to be established, and they advise their brothers and sisters for the sake of Allah. We need brothers, and likewise sisters, you need to take on this affair, and to seek knowledge diligently, and to strive to learn the law of Allah Azza wa Jalla and apply that and call to that. May Allah give you success. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.